Buchmessefunk Literatur. Gelesen und diskutiert auf Detektor FM und Vorleser.net.
This will be my first English sentence today.
Ooh. Oh, it's working now. Hey. Thank you. This is like your fifth.
Oh,
number five.
So thanks for the audience. My English is very bad. I just realized 2 hours ago that Laurie is not speaking German. So
it's very bad. I'm sorry.
I mean, I read the book in German. But okay, here we go. I hope you understand English, but I think as everybody of you is a fan of Laurie, or at least knows her, she speaks perfectly English, you will understand.
Yes, like a native. Yes,
so Laurie, I think I mustn't even introduce you to this audience. I don't know how many people asked me all day long, is she really coming or just her translator?
I've been here all day.
Yeah, she's coming. What's the problem? So in this country, I know you've been asked that question all the time. You are a real pop star. And in our newspaper, Taz, my colleagues Marlene Halser and Fatma Aydemir, I don't know. Ah, they are.
Hi.
They asked you this question,
yeah.
if you're aware of that. And you answered that you're just a star in Germany.
Well, it's very different at home. I was saying to a German feminist lately, who I won't name, like, nobody is a star, nobody is a hero in their hometown, right? It's, at home, people are just like, oh, that's that Laurie Penny girl again, she's been around for years, whatever. But here, it's like taking a holiday and being famous. Like, you can go, people are like, oh my god! And then before it gets to your head and you get like, oh, maybe I'm a big deal. Then you go home and it's just like, no one cares. So it's good. It's good for the, it's like a brief holiday. But I mean, obviously, it's really flattering and amazing. It's a...
I mean, you're just not a pop star singing songs. You're a pop star because of your political theory, especially combining... Am I wrong?
I don't. Yeah. Maybe I don't know.
So
I'm British about these things. I'm like, oh no, don't be silly.
It's combining feminist theory, new feminist theory, with let's say radical economic critic points.
Yeah.
Is it right?
Yes. Well, look. I've always thought that I came to anarchism and to left-wing politics through feminism, because feminism was sort of my first. When I was very, very little, I started reading feminist books, and I think that you can be a feminist without being a socialist. You can. It won't take you very far, but you can do it. You can campaign on a little bit. But if you try and be a socialist or an anarchist without also being a feminist, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't, like, it's intellectually bankrupt. You can't talk about economics properly without talking about gender and power. Because, like, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, clapping person, whoever started. Oh, it's you with cool hair. Thank you.
Who has cool hair here?
Loads of people have cool hair. And somebody's got a top hat. That's amazing.
What's a top hat?
It's that.
Can you show up, please?
Okay. Sorry, dude.
It's funny because we're going to talk about the book, but it's a connection. Your book your first book, at least in German, which is not an essay. It's a short novel.
Short stories, yes.
And a lot of science fiction and fantasy stuff inside. And we just were aware that you twittered that you were coming to Leipzig to the book fair, and then you said...
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Whatever that is.
It's
will
a character
repeat it for the German-speaking guys. Negasonic Teenage
Warhead. She's a character from the film Deadpool that just came out. Okay. And I was... Well, look, like, this is the first... This is an amazing convention, because it's like a sort of... proper literature, and then there's this massive nerd convention next door, and I didn't realize before I came here, because I love nerd convention, I'm this huge nerd, and I came and was like, I've not got a costume, but like this character happens to like dress a lot like me, so I'm like, oh, I'm gonna say I'm that girl. But yeah, it's amazing. We went around the you asked, so now I'm gonna be like, oh my god. But like, yeah, we went.
No, it's really funny because a few years ago, now we have a big hall.
Yeah.
Manga convention, manga comics. I don't know that stuff. You know it very, very good, obviously. And there are people who say, Now, this year, mm-hmm. the book fair is not the book fair for adult people, for reading people. The book fair is, the manga convention is the bigger stuff. We are just the sidekicks, you know.
Oh, come on.
So you, with your book, you perfectly fit in this.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, because of all these strange people in your book. Are you a science fiction lover?
Yes. Yes.
How comes that? You are a girl.
Get out of your own sofa. I've always been a huge, huge nerd. And sometimes, when you're a girl and you say to people, oh, I'm a nerd, people are like, oh, yeah, you go on Tumblr and stuff. And then you start talking to people about Dungeons and Dragons. And people just slowly walk away. And you're like, oh, you're an actual nerd. Yeah, well done for talking to humans. It's great. But look, the reason with fiction, part of the reason I'm focusing on the stuff I'm publishing on science fiction and sort of horror and fantasy is because I love that world. I love the nerd community. And I read all kinds of books. I mean, I read all kinds of novels, huge fiction reader, but I think within the nerd world, there is a sense of fun. There is a sense that you're really allowed to enjoy the thing that you like. It's not embarrassing. You don't have to be pretentious. You don't have to be... And you don't have to be as serious. And I think that's so important with fiction. I mean, all fiction is kind of making up weird stories in your head. So let's not pretend it's some kind of super special thing. I like the idea. I wish at popular book fairs like this, you could come dressed as your favorite character. I think that's amazing.
Well, this book fair is...
That's really what's amazing. You get people wandering around this bit who are dressed as like Steven Universe characters, which is the best show on TV right now. Incidentally, yes, thank you.
So there is one girl in one of your stories, she's eating a heart. What's so funny about it?
Well, that's obviously, I'm not trying to encourage people towards cannibalism in this work. But look, the whole idea is actually partly from Dungeons and Dragons. The idea that it's in this old role-playing game, if anybody doesn't know it, the idea that goblins, I think it's kobold in here, the translation, which is a slightly different, awesome creature. But the idea that they are cannibals and they eat each other's, but I had this idea that maybe it's like a religious ritual and it's very special and powerful. But that story is also about, it's also about class, and it's also about pressure towards taking exams. And kind of, it's with fiction, and particularly with science fiction, it's always an attempt to talk about real-world politics and real-world situations at a slight angle. And actually, there's a lot in that particular story about my own family. My own family are not cannibals or goblins. They're actually very nice people. But it's a way I found it easier to talk about, pressure and being an immigrant and coming from that background and the emotions of that at a slight angle than I do like just writing an article, because you can get more deeply into the emotions of it and the story of it. And because I'm a nerd, I'm like, oh, this story would be better if it had goblins and maybe a dragon. So that's part of the reason I do science fiction, because it's not just fun, it's also I think that science fiction is the most important genre of fiction, particularly right now. It's where all the interesting stuff is coming out. Absolutely.
I'm not a science fiction expert at all, but in my at least very short knowledge, I don't know any feminist science fiction, or am I too silly?
Oh, no! No, there's a huge history of feminist science fiction. Huge. It's been... Actually, some nerds don't know this, which is strange. People think, all these women writing science fiction, it's this new thing. Because things are changing within the science fiction community, within the nerd community. There are a lot of women and queer people and people of color suddenly winning all these prizes, and people are very angry. But actually... at least in the English-speaking science fiction world, that you've had feminist science fiction for over a century. Last year was the 100-year anniversary of a book called Her Land by the writer Charlotte Perkins Gilman, which is a utopian novel about a society of all women. and you have books like The Sultana's Dream, which is an Indian utopian novel about a society of women. And then throughout the 50s, the 60s, there was a writer called James Tiptree Jr. Who wrote under a male name stories about which were partly about gender oppression. It's a huge tradition, and I actually I tried to write an essay on it while I was studying at university. I studied literature at Oxford, so very, very rarefied and very, you know, they didn't even want you to write about books that had been written less than 100 years ago. But when I said I was going to write about feminist science fiction, they're just like, don't be silly. You pick feminism or science fiction, and even then you won't get a good grade. So just forget it. So it's still not taken as seriously as I think it should be.
And will you? Well, actually, you answered the question in the interview. You're writing on a bigger novel.
I'm trying to. I don't know if anybody here has tried to write a novel. Yeah, it's really hard. It's because I have got, you know, I've always got so many ideas going on, and I'm very distractible, and it's hard to find time to sit down and finish. But yeah, I would love to write a longer thing. I mean, Unsagbara Dinga, my Unspeakable Things, my last book that was like a real book from start to finish, not an article, took me bloody 3 years to finish, because I was always like, because basically I signed this contract for that book. I signed it when I was just turned 24, and I was in the middle of a student occupation as a reporter, and my agent called me and was like, oh my god, good news, we've sold this book. And I was like, yay, I've accidentally become an anarchist. I'm gonna go now and run around following the Occupy movement for 3 years. See you, bye. And then after about 2.5 years, they were like, so that book you said you'd write, where is it? And then I had to put my butt on a chair and work it. So I think I'm going to have to try and trick myself into doing it again. Many excuses. I'm lining up my excuses in advance. You see, I don't want to promise something.
I want to come back to Eating Hearts. It reminded me... So funny. It reminded me of a scene in a TV series called Game of Thrones. There's this strange lady with the blonde hair. And
Khaleesi.
Khaleesi.
So give her proper title, please.
Would you say that Game of Thrones is a feminist TV series?
Oh, God, no. No. Come on. Game of Thrones is tits and dragons. It's just... I love Game of Thrones so much. I'm not saying I don't enjoy it. I enjoy eating McDonald's sometimes. Like, I enjoy eating crisp. That doesn't mean it's good for me, and I recognize that. It's Game of Thrones, is the reason it's interesting from a gender point of view is it's kind of about this extreme version of women dealing with a horrendous patriarchal society. But it's written by a dude, and it's super rapey and super... I mean, like, come on, really. I love Arya. Everyone loves Arya. I love Tyrion. Everyone loves Tyrion. But I don't think there's a massive feminist message. But on the other hand, I do love watching it. So it's this kind of... There's this thing within modern feminist and social justice culture where you're either... The idea is that you can't criticize something whilst also enjoying it. There is this idea that if you say something's gross and sexist, then you can't also sit down and watch it. And if that was the case, then I would watch only Steven Universe. And like, there are only 57 episodes of Steven Universe, and I've seen them all, so I'm going to have to watch things that are problematic. Otherwise, it's... I'm sorry, is anybody following me here, or am I just talking Tumblr language to the internet? That's because I can do that, that's fine. But yeah, it's...
another question to a TV series. I mean, we all love it, and I forgot which character, but there's one... Ah! It's... it's the story I love most. It's about a girl. Wait, the title is Blue Monday.
Blue Monday, yeah.
It's a story about a girl which she doesn't like cats.
Yeah.
But her friend does.
Her girlfriend, yeah.
Her girlfriend does. And well, she's getting weird because the girlfriend's cat, the girlfriend's leaving, and the cat stays home. And she's... Oh, well, you have to... Because my English is so bad.
Yes, all right. No, don't worry.
Can you please retell the story of...
Oh, God. Well, look, the story is... It was an idea about what if the government produced cat videos on an industrial scale in order to keep the population My brain is a lot more strange than some people realize when I'm just trying to talk about politics. I'm really sorry. But partly it was an attempt to talk about what happens in a relationship when one person is extremely depressed. And that's partly what the story is about, from various experiences that I've had and my friends have had. But also, I mean, part of that story is just an attempt to, like, I have opinions about cats. Right? Sometimes, look, when you're a political writer, I find that a lot of people who are political writers, they have their thing that they talk about, their one or two things, and I talk about feminism, social justice, and economics, and then they'll have this weird idea that's totally unrelated, and they can't really, they feel like bad about saying it, but one of mine is that everyone should eat more insects, insects are a really important source of protein, you see what I mean? Like, it's not connected to anything else I do. The other one is cats are evil and are taking over society. And this was kind of my attempt to put that out there because it really doesn't relate to any of my work that I do. It's off-brand, so I made a character say it instead so I could release all of those years of emotions and resentments toward these animals to which I'm deeply allergic. And everybody seems to expect me to love cats because I'm a feminist, and I resent that. Anyway. It's all in there. It's a long rant.
It's a really nice one. And she's as scary as she is. She loves to. She says in a sentence, I don't want to do anything. I just want to be lazy and watch Scandal. Why Scandal?
Oh, Scandal's a pretty good show. And there's so much of it, and you can mainstream. Look, come on. This is a character. It's a attempt to talk about depression, but also kind of maybe in a funny way. I don't know. It's nice to write. So the difference between fiction and non-fiction, which I find hard, and I think anybody who writes both finds hard, is that if you're developing a non-fiction voice, and if you're writing political articles and opinions, it's all about developing your voice and writing as you, and as you, but better on the page. But if you're trying to do fiction, it's the complete opposite. It's ventriloquism. You're trying to write as somebody completely different and somebody who has a different experience. And people who are trained only in fiction, it comes so naturally to them. But sometimes, a lot of these stories are in the first person. It's an I voice. And partly it's me trying to develop that empathy, I guess, and develop those different voices. So I guess that's part of what that story is about. I don't know if I'm still new. I'm not new to writing fiction. I'm new to publishing fiction because most of the fiction I've written has been fan fiction and nobody's allowed to see it ever. It's private. It's just for me. But I'm new to publishing real fiction. So that's what this is about.
So I want to talk a little bit about Germany because in Germany you are really something which we didn't see for a long time. It's sure not your hairstyle or whatever. but the way of political writing or feminist writing, you filled like halls like a real pop star in Kreuzberg SO36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was insane.
There were hundreds of people standing outside and they were close to make the biggest riot since the 1st of May 1987 just because they couldn't get inside. What's your explanation? Why in Germany are you a pop star?
Well, look, firstly, it's deeply flattering, and I want to say it's because Germans are amazing and the most intelligent people. but clearly, that's not... Look, I think sometimes in cultures, stuff happens and there are moments that arrive and moments that arrive in culture and somebody just happens to be standing in the right place at the right time. And I kind of realized this about the third day during the last tour last summer when it was just totally crazy and unexpected. And I realized that all these awesome people were coming to events and they were partly coming to see me, but also they were coming to see each other and coming to be part of this sort of feminist moment that was happening anyway and would happen if it wasn't me, be somebody else. I'm lucky that it's me and it means that I have to kind of step up and put on a show if I can and be on my game, but it's always about a move. I think particularly with modern culture and with the internet, feminism is completely networked right now. It's all about building community. It's all about relationships between individual people, and feminism was never, like most social justice movements, it's never about leaders, it's never about one or two voices, but sometimes people arrive and they're just occasions for people to make those connections. And I think for whatever reason, that was the impact that this book had in Germany at the right time. In the US and the UK and whatever places it's going to be, it's going to be different. And I'm glad I'm very lucky and very flattered that it's worked out like that. But I think partly for me, the experience of, oh, it's like this in Germany, but it's totally different in like the US has kind of taught me that the difference between when those moments arrive in culture, if that makes sense, and how much of it is random and to chance. And sometimes it works out great, sometimes it doesn't. Just show up.
So you don't think it has anything to do with statues of feminist theory, that maybe the Germans are longing for modernization of feminism and there is no figure they can cheer for? This, you don't think it had anything to do with that?
I'm hoping that, well, there are a lot of very exciting books in the works, which I'm not going to like shout out for because that would put pressure on individual people who may or may not be here today. But look, I think there is something in Germany in particular where there is an intellectual hunger and people are more happy to talk about theoretical ideas. And that can be a part of pop culture in a way that perhaps it can't, certainly in the US, where I've been living recently, and definitely in the UK. If you use words like intersectionality in a more public forum in the UK, people, it's not that people won't understand, a lot of people will, but people will go, oh, no, this is some intellectual nonsense, this is bullshit, whatever. But in Germany, I think there's a more intellectual strand. You know, it's a huge culture of readers, huge culture of theory and philosophy. Whereas in Britain, we don't like to see people kind of getting above themselves in that way. So maybe that's a difference. I don't know, but I'm now only now just learning more about Germany. And my other theory is that, like, the translator for my book, who also translated this book, Anne Emmert, is, I think she may be some kind of insane genius. Because maybe has just made it sound so much better than it does in English. That might also be the case.
Well, you are a pop star, you are an interesting figure here in Germany, but you already made the Bekanntschaft. You met some critics recently out of, let's say, anti-German movement.
The anti-Deutsch,
I don't know if you know anything.
Ah, okay. Oh, I know about them now, yes.
You know about them now? And they were criticizing you because you are supporting the, I don't know the exact word, BDS? So you're supporting the boycott of Israeli products. Is that right?
Well, look, I mean, this is completely insane and I really don't want to talk about it much in public because it's being made to be much more than it is. I think I'm not, I've now been positioned as a leader in the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement. Well, I don't even boycott Israeli products myself because I'm lazy and I can't be bothered to check every avocado that I eat. That's not a really considered political position. That's just a personal failing on my account. But look, my experience is that certain sections of the left are the same everywhere, no matter what their particular cultural idiosyncrasies are. And it's not the first time I've encountered that as somebody who's a young woman in public, and not the last time I will either. And I don't really want to give it credence by responding to it as if it's, you know, by giving that attention. I understand that there are different cultural factors in play. I really, really do, and I empathize. But you know, I don't really be forced into making big statements on Israel either way, because that's not what I'm here to talk about, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. No.
Yay.
It's just, you know, it was a discussion. They are not right wings or whatever. And it's maybe really hard to understand the German left, because you were talking about the theory hunger.
Yep.
It's really hard to understand the left discourse in Germany, but it's part of it. You will learn from that more.
Yeah, I'm. It's a crash course.
Be prepared.
Yeah, good.
Well, I think we have to end. I'm sorry, but I don't want to get you out. You have to say three topics, because it's always three, you know. It's always three reasons because it's always three big topics.
Yep.
What are the most important topics for nowadays feminism, which we have to fight for?
Oh, God.
Two.
Anything. No, three is better. Three is better. More is always better. Let's have universal reproductive freedom at the point of demand for everybody free. Total dismantling of the economic system with universal basic income as a transitional demand, and the destruction of national borders. That's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Laurie
you.
Penny.
Thank
I think,
you.
I think around the corner, okay, that's my applause.
No, sorry. No, no.
I think around the corner you can buy the new book.
Yeah, the babies. You can buy that around the corner, but not from the festival bookshop, I think. I don't know.
We didn't say nothing.
We can't
so
say,
just buy the book.
We said nothing.
And you will be there to...
Yeah, I can sign books, sure.
Thank you very much, Laurie.
Thank you. Bye.